Prayer.
It's rewards and benefits.
When you don't pray, you're deprived of speaking to Allah. Shame on you. How could you? Allah tell you, this is my appointment to meet with you. Pleasure? You say, no, it's okay, I'll pass on that. Would you ever do that to the President? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, best words were, As-salah, pray. His voice, God goes with him. And is that coming out? Because
he's dying. Prayer. The punishment and harm and abandoning it.
You know you're going to live forever? I tell you right up front. You're going to live forever? Don't even listen to it. You may live. Don't ever listen to Allah about Islam if you're going to live forever. Right? That's not a human valley. Suck up. The valley that doesn't leave nothing of a human being. Wait that valley which has animals and snakes to you when alive. The partnership.
Pray on time. These 5 minutes that you're going to pray, the 10 minutes, save the 10 minutes there. You got to do them.
You have to do it. You got to build, you're going to pay. You got to pay. Why are you delaying it?
Pray. Words on the tongues of the Sahaba and scholars.
Ibn Hazm narrates a group of companions who believe that missing one prayer and so if time is missed, is a kafir. It's unbelievable. And he names among those who believe that is Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Abu Hurairah and Umar radiallahu anhu ajma'in. And Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and Jabir ibn Abdullah, and Abu Darda. Among the nine companions is Zuhayr ibn Harb, and Abu Dawood al-Tayyansi, and Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, and Abdullah ibn Mubarak, and al-Nakhai, and al-Hakim ibn Utayba, and others.
Prayer, how high regard by early Muslims.
He said, take me to the masjid. His son said, just pray where you're at. It's easier for you. He said, take me to the masjid. You want me to hear? And stay here and not go to the mosque. They took him. And in the last bowing of Salat al-Maghrib, last stage of Salat al-Maghrib, he died in his sujood.
Why don't you pray?
When you ask someone, why don't you pray? He says, brother, I got a clean heart. I don't hurt no one. So that's it. They think that's going to be the key to heaven. And I love Allah, and I love the Prophet. And I tell him, you're a liar. Why don't you pray? Because I have sins. They say, because I have sins.
Why don't you pray? They tell you when Allah guides you.
Why don't you pray? I'm young. And when I get older, or I go to Hajj when I'm 16, then I'll pray. Why don't you pray? I don't know how to. I didn't know it was a fault.
Pray. Repent and pray before it's too late.
All that sins you had in the past, Allah will change them into deeds. When you repent to Allah, Allah will change your sins into deeds. That's the mercy and grant of Allah.
فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا.
The time is now. Let's go listen out.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أما بعد، our topic today is about salah. This message is directed first and foremost for those who don't pray. If you don't pray and you claim and you're born as a Muslim, your parents are Muslim and you're born, and now you're 15, 16, 17, 20, 30, 50, 60, and you don't pray, you better listen to this. You better hear what I have to say. Not only is this directed for those who don't study or skip out on their salah, but it's rather directed as well for those who study. So don't be feeling left out if you say, well, I study, there's no need for me to listen to this. No, you gotta listen to this, just like the others who don't study. Why? Because today we're in a day and age where most of the people don't pray. If you study today, it's exceptional. Unlike times before us where it was exceptional for one not to pray, today it's exceptional for one to study. So if you study, you got people around you who don't study. So you better listen to what I gotta say to convey it to those people, because it's ordained upon you to convey this message to those people, to secure them and guide them from falling into hellfire, especially that they are counted under the number of Muslims. When you say Muslims, they don't care if you study or you don't study. They discount you. They claim you think you're a Muslim. So you better listen to this carefully so you can convey it. Allah said in the Quran, Surah Taha, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. This is for the Prophet ﷺ. However, it's also for all of you and all of us as well, and tied within it. Where Allah tells His Prophet ﷺ, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ and order your family to pray and be patient in offering them the prayer and in prayer. We don't ask you for provision. Allah doesn't want from us any wealth or money. We provide for you. And the good one, the paradise, the good end, is for those who are pious. So basically Allah is saying, order the prayer and be patient with it. In addition to that, the Prophet ﷺ said, command your children to pray when they reach 7. And spank them when they reach 10. مُرُوهُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ لِسَنَةً وَاضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا لِحَسَنَةً in Musnad Ahmad. The only probably hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says to spank your kids directly for something. You gotta know that when you're in charge of someone or something, a mother or a father, you better know that you're going to be questioned about Allah on the judgment day. You can't say, well, my kids, and I just didn't, they don't want to pray. And they take it so easy. You're going to be questioned on the judgment day. Why your kids don't pray? The Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّكُمْ رَعَى every one of you is in charge. And every one of you is going to be questioned about what he's in charge with. فَرَجُلُ رَعَى عَلَى أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ You're in charge of your family. You're in charge of your household. You're Imam of a Masjid, you're in charge of the people. You have some knowledge. You know people who don't study. You're in charge of those to convey them the message. Listen to the final hadith. مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَسْتَرَعِيهِ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةً There's no servant of Allah that Allah in charge of him and entrusts him with someone or something that he cheats those he's entrusted with, except that Allah will ban and prohibit upon him ever. مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَسْتَرَعِيهِ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةً يموت يوم يموت وهو غاش لرعيته إلا حرم الله عليه الجنة. Allah will ban Jannah upon him. Allah will ban Jannah upon him. Cheating the people you're entrusted with doesn't mean the cheating that you think of. If you have people you know or are living in your household and you don't be honest and advise them and order them to do the commands of Islam and take procedural steps in it, then you're cheating them in reality. Your husband doesn't pray. You gotta advise him. You gotta tell him to your Allah and pray. If it continues on with a period of time where you hit a dead end and you won't pray, then you got a divorce. The same with some husband. If your wife doesn't pray and you pray, you got to go through procedural steps and order her and good, and then order her and then push her and then command her. And if she refuses, it's time for divorce. It's a line where you draw in Islam. It's a command of Islam. There's no way to be with a man who doesn't pray, and a woman can't be with a man who doesn't pray. You can't have teenagers running around your house who don't pray. So this message is important for those who pray, just as it is for those who don't pray. Because again I say, every one of us has people surrounding us who don't pray. Wallah, everyone, the great vast majority, I would probably say in the 90%, are the ones who do not pray the 5 times on day, prayer on time. 90%. In addition to that, what we have to say over here is something you should memorize. The fact, the hadith, the Quran, if you can memorize them, if it's hard upon you to convey a message, if you're not good in dealing with people, take a tape of this, of a tape, a lecture you like about this topic, a CD, and burn it and give it to someone. Why? Why did you say it, or give a tape, or a CD? Because you know, if you get someone to study, every single salah he studies from that day on, you get the ajr of it. You get the reward of it. You get the deeds of it. Even if you pray the Zuhr, and you're praying the fear of God, you get the reward just as you owe you pray. The Prophet ﷺ says, whoever points to good gets the same reward as the one he pointed to the good. Not a tiny bit less. من دل على خير فله مثل أجر فاعله لا ينقص من أجره شيئا. Not a tiny bit less. You get the same reward exactly and identical. Imagine you burn a CD of a cup like this and you take it to someone who doesn't study and he starts to study. Every salah after that, after this topic, after he hears it because of you and through you, you get the reward. Imagine you get 10 people like that. 5, 4, 2. It's nearly a ticket to heaven. Deeds that you don't have to sweat for. Deeds that you don't got to pay money for. It just comes to you. Imagine if that person you tell them goes on and tells other people. You get the same ajr as him. He told 10 other people. Imagine if he has kids and all those kids start funding. You get the ajr of that as well. All that ajr comes to you. So that's why this message is for those who don't pray, and it's for those who pray to convey this message by any other means you have, by speaking it, by giving a copy out to other people, or in any way you deem is good. My talk today revolves around 6 points. The first point is the benefit, the reward, the importance of prayer. What we refer to in Islam as tarheeb. Something to push you to do the good in the good way. The second point of this khutbah or talk is the opposite. Pushing you to do the good deed by sharing tarheeb and tarheeb. Promise of reward and scaring you of the consequence. Just like a father would tell his son, look, if you pray, I give you $10. Or rather, he tells him, if you go move the line, I'll give you $10. And then he tells him, and if you don't move the line, I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to spank you. The first one is tarheeb, the second one is tarheeb. So Islam is like a bird with 2 wings. You have to have both at the same time. You have to balance yourself out between tarheeb and tarheeb. So the first point I'm going to talk about is tarheeb, which is promises for those who pray. The importance, the benefit, the goodness of it. The second one is praying on time. And I'm not going to talk about it in extreme detail because here we're trying to get some people to pray. Praying on time deserves an entire talk on its own. The third point I'm going to talk about is the opposite of the first, which is, if you don't move the line, you better watch what I'm going to do to you. The fourth point is what the pious predecessors, the Sahaba, the scholars, said about this matter. What they think about prayer? The fifth point is what the pious predecessors held prayer to be. How, in what regard they held it. How it was very important and essential to their life. How they never delayed it. The sixth point and the last point is why don't you pray? Why don't you pray? Let's start off with the first point. The first one is tarjeeh. Why don't you pray? Do you know how important prayer is? Listen to the importance of prayer. After you become a Muslim, there's nothing more important you can do than pray 5 times a day. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, no deed, no action, no charity you can do after you become a Muslim more important and essential than your prayer 5 times a day. You preserve it, you preserve your religion. You neglect it, you neglect your religion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رأس الأمر الإسلام وعموده الصلاة. The head of this matter is Islam, and its pillar is prayer. Imagine you have a tent with no middle pole or pillar to hold it up. You take that pole out, and the tent is on the floor. That's exactly what you are. You claim you're a Muslim, it's on the floor. It's useless. Could you do that tent without a middle pole? Exactly what prayer is to one who supposedly claims he is a Muslim. You were created on this planet to worship Allah, and the simplest need to worship Allah is through prayer. Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I only created a human and jinn to worship me. There's nothing more simpler in you worshiping Allah than the 5 times a day prayer. You know the 5 pillars of Islam. Every one of us knows the 5 pillars of Islam. The word of faith, the word of monotheism, salah, sloan, fasting, prayer, fasting, zakah, charity, and hajj. These 5 pillars are, when you do them, it's like you, when you pass by a house that's constructed, especially around here, you see them building it out of 2x4s. You ever go to a house where they're building it out of 2x4s and all you see is the skeleton of the house with 2x4s? If you only do the 5 pillars of Islam, that's exactly what you are, a skeleton. A human skeleton, or a skeleton of a construction or building, or back overseas you put the cement blocks and metal poles in them, and that's how they start the skeleton of their construction. That's exactly what you are if you only do that. Now you want to be a good Muslim, you want to have a nice house. What do? You bring the plywood, you bring the decoration inside, you bring the lamps, you bring the electricity, you bring the plumbing, you bring all the tile, you bring the nice carpet in, and you bring all that, and that's the additional things you are in Islam. You do the 5 pillars of Islam, then you're merely a seller. You want to know how important Salah is? It's important to the point that every order in Islam came down from Allah through Jibreel to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Except prayer. In prayer, Allah took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of the comfort of his bed on a journey to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem on the Buraq all the way up to the seventh sky. He got to go up and get that command. He's not going to come down because this is something too important. He's sleeping in his bed in Mecca, and he gets up to go on a journey which we call Al-Isra Mi'raj to Palestine, to Jerusalem, and from there on top of Al-Buraq, all the way to the seventh sky, he gets to the seventh sky and Jibreel points him out and introduces him to the messengers that are over there and to these things that are in heaven and hell there, and he goes from first sky to second to third to fourth to fifth to sixth to seventh. And we believe as Muslims Allah on top of the seventh sky, Jibreel tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I gotta go back. You're the only one who can go past this point. This is my limit, you're the only one. He goes, and Allah commands him at that point of the 5 prayers that one must do. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you got 50 prayers. He goes back down from the seventh to the sixth sky. He meets Musa. Musa tells him what happened. Wallahan. He said, Allah ordered me with 50 prayers. He said, go back and ask Allah to make a blessing. I had experience with people. I don't know how they are. There's no way they can handle 50. He went up and asked Allah to lower it. And Allah lowered it to 40. He came back down. He said, what happened? Moses tells the Prophet Muhammad, what happened? He said, Allah lowered it to 40. He said, go back and ask Allah to lower it again because they will not be able to handle it. You know, Musa dealt with Bani Israel, the children of Israel, a tremendous, this is hard for them to handle. And then he goes back up another time, from 40 to 30. And he talks to Musa, same conversation. And from 30 to 20, and from 20 to 10. And every time he goes back down, Musa tells him to go back up and ask Allah for less. When it got back to 10, he said, go back and ask Allah for less. He went and asked Allah. Allah said, 5 with the reward of 50. You pray 5 with the reward of 50, man, you got better call than that. That's it. That's the decisive answer. It's not going to go any less than this. And it's 5. Some smart aleck might say, well, if Allah knows it's going to be 50 from 50 to 5, already 5, why do you do that? You know, send it back and forth 6 times almost. Why do you have to do that if Allah already knows it's going to be 5 prayers? And the answer to that is for me and you to realize how valuable this prayer is, and also to know that when you get up and pray, you jump up to your prayer. Because Allah wants you to imagine it was 50 prayers. Imagine if Allah left it 50 prayers. You know what would happen? Every half an hour, Allah says, get up. Every 30 minutes, Allahu Akbar. You rest. You better sit back and go back to Allah to the masjid, guys. Second one, third one. Well, every 30 minutes of prayer. Could you imagine life like that? That's what Allah wants you to imagine. So when you imagine life was 50 prayers, and then you only get 5, with the reward of 50, you see how merciful and easy going upon us Allah is. You see how valuable prayer is? 5 prayers, and you get the reward of 50, which barely takes you 25 minutes a day. Imagine if they were 50, and you look how Allah took His messenger on top of 7 sky to tell him this important command, and without a mediator between them. Because it's salah! It's salah! The first point is the importance of it. All this is under tawheed. The second point is happiness and comfort. Do you want to be happy in life? Do you want to enjoy life? Do you want to take it easy in life? Wallah, the only way you could do it is because it's through prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَجُعِلَتْ تَعْقُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. The comfort of my eyes is put in prayer. My comfort comes in prayer. He will tell Bilal, أَرِحْنَا بِهَا يَا بِلَال. Give us peace and comfort with salah, Bilal. It's peace, it's comfort. It's what gets you on in life. Every human being has to look up to something more supreme than him in order for him to get by in life. That's why a lot of the people who have no faith, they are in their own world, in their days in their own world, either on drugs or committing suicide, or drunk. Because they don't have some supreme being that they believe and they turn to. Look at a child. It's something Allah instilled, a fitra in you. Look at a child. He has to have someone to look up to. A father, a mother, a grandparent to look up to in his life. And an elder person has to have someone older to look up to turn to resort to communicate to ask when he needs help. And that is Allah. Without that, you can't be enjoying life. Someone tell me, am I going to be comfortable and happy in life that Allah's going to take all my problems? I tell you no. Problems are a fact of life. You're Muslim and you're not Muslim, everyone has problems. Everyone, Muslim and non-Muslim have problems. But let me tell you one thing how it's going to make you comfortable and happy in life. Give me someone who sunnies and truly sunnies and performs it accordingly and purifies himself and does it as Allah and the Prophet taught us to do it and on time. And give him the whole world in front of him as a problem. Problems. The world. Gangs after him. His boss is giving him problems. Family problems. The government's giving him problems. Anything like that. And he prayed, and then gave me someone who doesn't perform his salah, and he got a chip in the finishing of his house. Or she chipped her nail. Or there's a scratch on his nice car. Wallahi, that minor problem is going to eat him out. He's going to eat him out. And he's not going to know how to live with it. Yet the other one who's sunlit and has the world on his face, you'd be surprised how he's dealing with it with a smile on his face. And if you don't see that smile on his face, there surely is a smile and decent comfort in his heart. If you want that, get up and pray 5 times a day. The next point, our third point, under tawheed. Let me tell you, if I was to tell you tomorrow we're going to meet the president of a country, if I was to tell you tomorrow we're going to meet the executive of your corporation, if I was to tell you tomorrow we're going to meet an actress that you always wanted to meet, or an actor you wanted to meet, you wouldn't be able to sleep the night. You want to dress up nice. You want to think what you're going to say to them. How excited you're going to be. Imagine if it's a king, what you're going to do. I say, well, tomorrow we're going to the palace of this king and we're going to sit and talk with him. When you pray, it's the king of all kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that should address in a meeting. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, when one of you is in prayer, he's addressing his Lord. You're speaking to your Lord. When you don't pray, you're deprived of speaking to Allah. Shame on you. How could you? How could you? Allah tell you, this is my appointment to meet with you. Pleasure? You say, no, it's okay. I'll pass on that. Would you ever do that to the president? Would you ever do that to your boss? Would you ever do that to a king that's living today with us? Say, no, it's okay. I don't want to meet with you at 12 o'clock. Okay, how about 3 o'clock? I still don't want to meet with you. All right, well, we'll meet around 5 o'clock. I said, I don't want to meet with you. All right, 8 or 7 o'clock. I told you, I don't want to meet with you. You tell that to Allah 5 times a day. I don't want to meet with you, Allah. He's telling me, I'll address you in these days and you can speak to me. You say, I don't want to see you, Ya Allah. I don't want to meet with you, Ya Allah. Look at what Allah, the Prophet says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْصِبُ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى وَجْهِ عَبْدِهِ مَا لَمْ يَلْتَفِ. Allah, when you say Allahu Akbar to pray, He puts His face in front of your face. His face in front of your face. How? In a manner that best suits Allah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. You're standing before Allah. يَنْصِبُ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى وَجْهِ عَبْدِهِ مَا لَمْ يَلْتَفِ. As long as you don't look left and right, you're looking directly straight ahead, Allah sees it before you. What a stance. What a meeting. Addressing Allah. You're addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now you're going to talk to Allah in salah. You say,
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Allah tells you, Hamadani Abdi. He thanks me. My servant thanks me.
Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim.
Majjadani Abdi. My servant glorified me.
Maliki Yawm al-Din.
Athna Aliya Abdi. My servant praised me. Then you say,
إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ
آمين. Allah says to you, هذا لعبدي ولعبدي ما سأل. This is for my servant, and for my servant is what he asked for. Not I'm asked for anything, they're going to get it. Can you do without communicating with Allah? Shame on our admin. Allah told you 5 times a day to pray, and you say, I don't want to meet with you, Ya Allah. Our next point. Do you want to maintain a lifestyle pure and away from sin? Then you got to have to pray. You say, well, I can't stop this thing. It's having a hard time doing this, you know, getting away from this. Then pray it. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah says, perform your prayer. Because verily, your prayer prevents you from fahsha. Fahsha is grave, the sins of all kinds, like sexual intercourse, like stealing, and matters that relate to that. فَحْشَى وَالْمُنْكَرْ. And it deters you away from munkar. Munkar means politism, kufr, infidelity, and stuff that concern the core of your belief. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرِ. The praising of Allah is bigger than that. Imagine that the salah is your avenue to keep me away. Don't tell me, well, I prayed 4 or 5 times or a day or two and I wasn't able to quit the sin. You gotta jump yourself into salah. You gotta keep doing it, persist in it, and wallah, it's gonna take you away from that sin you commit. I'll get to this topic later when I say, why don't you pray, O Muslim? When we get to that, I'll elaborate on this one. Our fifth point on the targhib is that your salah is an erasure to your sins. Imagine that. That you pray to Allah, and that salah that you pray to Allah is an erasure to your sins. Allah would have said, look guys, you order me prayer, and that's it. That would be sufficient. Who could say, why are you doing this? Or you're making a harm. You can't do that. Allah says, orders in prayer. He orders you to pray. And it says it's addition to the rewards you're going to get. Erase sins you committed, minor sins you committed between a salah and a salah are going to be erased. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if there was a river at a door in front of any one of your houses, and every one of you took a shower 5 times a day, whether it's a river in front of your house, that's for example the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, or say you go to your house and you take a shower 5 times a day in your bath, are you going to have any dirt remaining on you? The Sahaba said, no, not a trace of dirt will be left. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that's how the 5 prayers are. Allah erases the sins with them. In the Bukhari Muslim. أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَنَّ نَهْرًا بِبَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ يَغْتَسِلُ مِنْهُ 5 مَرَّاتٍ بِالْيَوْمِ هَلْ يَبْقَى عَلَى جَرَانِهِ شَيْءٍ؟ قَالُوا لَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They said, no, nothing will be left on. قَالُوا وَكَذَلِكَ الصَّلَوَاتُ 5 يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِنَّ الْخَطَايَا. It's like an ocean. Salah is like an ocean. You jump in that ocean, the dirt on you is a sin. You jump in that ocean, the same way that water cleans the dirt, the salah cleans your sins, because we live a life with sins all around us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith takes the branch of a tree on a cold day. You know in fall, when the trees are about to fall, he takes the branch with a lot of leaves on it, and hits it to the ground, then hits it to the ground, and keeps hitting it until all the leaves fall out. And when they fall out, he says, you see how all the leaves fell out? That's exactly how the 5 prayers are to you. They clean you from your sins like I clean this branch from all the leaves on it. And how the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when one of you gets up to pray, the sins are put on his back, and when he goes down, prostrated and bound to Allah, they keep falling up and down. Your back moves up and down, your sins fall up and down. They go down away from you until he ends his prayer with no sins left on him. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the 5 prayers, prayer to a prayer, and jum'ah to jum'ah, Ramadan and Ramadan, are forgiveness to what's in between them if major sins are avoided. Jum'ah to jum'ah, prayer to prayer, Ramadan to Ramadan. Don't tell me, wallah, look, I'll wait till next Ramadan to start praying and Allah will forgive the sins in the middle. Well, you not praying is a major sin by all means. That's if you take the second opinion, then it's not kufr. So don't tell me I wait till Ramadan or I wait till Jum'ah, I pray every Jum'ah and Allah forgives the sins in the middle. You not praying is a major sin in itself, according to the least of the reputable scholars of the Islamic Ummah. Imagine that Allah gives us all this to pray, and you still don't pray? 50 times as much reward, comfort and peace, and then he's going to erase your sin. And yes, you still Allah, yet you still tell Allah that I don't want to pray. My sixth point under tarheem is have mercy on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shame on you. Shame on you, you who don't pray. You know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to convey this message, and I never met a Muslim who says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, whose heart doesn't melt to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. I remember, in fact, one time I gave a lecture about the Prophet's life and how he died, and I recall someone passing out, although he was very much into Islam. He just had to attend the Jum'ah. He passed out. He cried to the point he passed out. Every Muslim is like that, or everyone who says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Do you know what he went through to convey this message to you? He had to go through being accused in his honor. They called him a liar, a magician. Evil human being who goes out to the outskirts, comes back and says, this is Quran. They put the guts of a camel on his back as he was praying. They tried to choke him around the Kaaba. He was around the Kaaba, and Utbah, the son of Abu Lahab, takes the upper garment around the Prophet ﷺ and tries to choke him to the point that the Prophet ﷺ, your prophet, falls down to his knees. And he wants to convey this message. Just so we can live in this life, a nice life, and enjoy him in heaven. All of that, he goes on to the point where they stone him and throw shoes on him. And the Prophet, to convey this message to you, have you not known no shame? One time, Abu Bakr finds them on the Kaaba when they have the Prophet ﷺ in the circle next to the Kaaba, and they're pushing him around just like high schoolers bully, or what they call a nerd. They put him in the middle, and they start pushing the Prophet ﷺ, passing him from left to the right, from right to the left, until Abu Bakr pushes his way in the middle, and pushes them from all around, and says, you kill a man who says, Allah is my Lord? You do this to man who says, Allah is my Lord? And then Abu Bakr ends up getting the beating to the point he passes out, and the Prophet ﷺ goes safely home. You know why he went through all that? He went through all that for you to learn this message, to learn the prayer. Have you no shame in not praying? That's not what I'm trying to get at exactly. I'm just trying to show you how much the Prophet ﷺ sacrificed to get this message that you have in front of you like a piece of cake. You know the last time the Prophet ﷺ ever smiled, ever? Well, he was on his deathbed for nearly 2 weeks or so. Before he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he felt very strong. And usually when a person dies, there's a moment before he dies where he feels strong. That's why. He got up to see all the Sahaba, opens his door, and when you open the door of the Prophet's house, it opens onto the masjid. He walks right onto the masjid. And he went onto the masjid and you see everyone lying in nice rows behind Abu Bakr praying. And he smiled. And it was the last time he ever smiled. He smiled to the people who were praying. They even told, there were, even some of them broke their prayer and said, oh, yeah, Abu Bakr, he's in good health. Look, the Prophet ﷺ needed. They see the smile of most of the Sahaba, but that was it. That the Prophet ﷺ is in good health. This was the morning prayer of the day that the Prophet ﷺ died. The Fajr, and he died just hours after that, the morning of a Monday that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died on. A smile on his face, why? He's happy to see the Muslims praying as he taught them to. Don't you want them to be happy with you on the judgment day? Don't you want them to smile to you, like to smile to those Sahaba the very last time you've seen them? If you want that, you gotta pray. Let me tell you more than that. Do you know what the last Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's last words were? Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, the last word that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as-salah, as-salah, pray, pray, as-salah, as-salah, pray. In fact, the narrator of the hadith, Anas says, his voice gargled with it. He's trying to say, as-salah, as-salah, and it's not coming out because he was dying. You know, someone is on his deathbed and he taught you 23 years worth of things, and the last thing he on his deathbed that comes to him to tell you is the salah. What does that tell you? The most important thing. If your father and your mother are on their deathbed, and they tell you, look, take care of that house, take care of that other child of mine, take care of this matter, take care of this situation, it's the most important thing. You're dying. You're leaving this earth. Don't imagine it's the Prophet ﷺ. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says, his voice gargles saying, As-salah, as-salah. The seventh point on the tarheeb. Do you want the protection of Allah? If you want the protection of Allah, and you can't do without the protection of Allah, then you better pray. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من صلى الفجر في جماعة فهو في ذمة الله. In another hadith, whomever prays the Fajr in jama'ah. In another hadith, it says, whomever prays the Fajr is in the protection and guardianship of Allah. Many other hadith that I don't want to mention right now, which are plenty, when you pray, you are in the guardianship of Allah. Do you not need the guardianship of Allah? Do you not need Allah to watch over you? Do you not need the protection of Allah? Well, if you do, you better get up and start praying. The eighth point on the tarheeb. Do you want the angels to speak good about you? Any one of you today, anywhere, go around, say, well, go to a certain brother or a sister and tell her, you know, sister, we were at the sister's house and they were saying so much good things about you. What are you going to do? You going to stop there? What do they think? they beg,
that's how he's going to be.
The same with the brother.
The brother is talking good about you.
He said you did this and that. Wallah! Tell me what they said.
Who?
Which one of them? You get happy when a human being starts about you.
Do you not want Allah?
Allah and the angels to speak good about you? Well, if you want Allah and the angels to speak good about you, then do salah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the angels go up to Allah in Fajr and Asr, and that's what Allah asks them. Allah already knows what they did. Allah can see. But it's a form of an honor to us to pray, and a sort of a misery to those who don't pray. In Fajr and in Asr. During those times, the angels go up to Allah to raise your deeds to Allah. And then Allah asks them, how did you read my service? A discussion between Allah and the angels. The angels will start telling us, well, we left them praying the Asr. We left them praying in the Fajr. That's if you're good. That's Allah. That's not a group of guys around you talking about you, good about you to make sure. That's Allah and the angels. Now assume you were sleeping during Fajr and Asr. They tell Allah, Ya Allah, he was snoring. Ya Allah, he was in a club. Ya Allah, there were guys gossiping and backbiting. You choose the way you want to be talked about. And Allah doesn't oppress. This is Allah, the one who created you, the one who suggested speaking good about you. To who? To the best creations on this planet ever, the angels of Allah. The next point. Do you want your life to be organized? Organized. Physically, literally organized. Do you want your life to change to the better? You want obedience and discipline? Then that will be inshallah. It's a change to one's life to the better. It only changes one's life to the better. And every means you can think of, every means you can think of is going to make it better. Look at Shu'aib alayhi salam, was the messenger of Allah Shu'aib. When his people see him, they were calling him to the oneness of Allah, he changed to the better. They said, Ya Shu'aib, أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَنْ نَتُرْكَ مَا يَعْمُدُ أَبَا. Shu'aib, it's your prayer who changed you. They see the change done up, they attribute it to the prayer. It's prayer that changes the one. Look how the messengers of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam says, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ. Oh Allah, allow me to be among those who are persistent in their prayer, continuously praying. Isa alayhi salam in his crib said, وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ. And Allah advised me and ordered me to pray. The tenth point. Do you want Jannah? Do you want heaven? The ultimate goal of one in this life is heaven. Because you're not going to live forever. You're going to die. If you're not going to die, then don't pray. If you know you're going to live forever, I tell you right up front, don't pray. If you're going to live forever, don't even listen to this. You may leave. Don't ever listen to a talk about Islam if you're going to live forever. But if you know you're going to meet your Lord, then you better listen to this wisely. There's heaven and there's hell. Do you want heaven? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ صَلَّ الْبَرْدَيْنِ دَخَلَ الْجِنَّةِ. Whomever prays the two prayers that come during the cold time, which is Fajr and Isha according to most scholars, and according to some it's Fajr and Asr, but it's really Fajr and Isha, whomever prays those two will enter heaven. Of course, all five, but amongst them is these two because these were among the two that were missed a lot during that time. On the judgment day, there's a bridge on top of hellfire. And that bridge is called the Sirat. And that Sirat is a bridge.
That bridge is thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword.
So it's the ambassador bridge we have over here, except this is a four-way bridge. Ambassador bridge with the emergency lane, I think it's 3 and 3, so it's 6 ways. The bridge is not on top of the Detroit River, but rather it's on top of hell. Hell that took 3,000 years to turn from white to red to charcoal black. It's charcoal black. On top of it, it took a stone that was thrown from the top of hellfire to the bottom of it. It took 70 years for it to get to the bottom of it. 70 of Allah's years, like the Prophet ﷺ told us. On top of that bridge, on top of that hell, that blazing hell, is a sirat. On the left and right of that hell is cloth, salalil, to pull you down so you can fall. Every human being got to enter and go through that bridge. If you're good in Islam and your belief and your deeds, you're going to zoom through it faster than wind and light. If you're not as well, you're going to be crawling and dragged and you go on that bridge by the light you have. Your deed, your salat, turn into light, brightness. Some people go on that bridge with a tiny little dot on the tip of their pinky. And that light, as it's on the tip of their pinky, goes off and on. It goes off and on. As it goes off, they're about to fall in, and then the light comes back on, and they make it, or they either fall. Do you want to cross that bridge? You want to cross that bridge to the front yard of heaven? And you know, the scholars and the Sahabis say, we will never rest assured until we cross and get to that front yard of heaven. If you're there, and you get there, then rest assured you're in good shape after that. Do you want to cross that bridge? Do you want your brightness to be bright as possible? It's not Duracell that's going to give you light. It's not a flashlight or a beam spotlight that's going to give you the light. It's your prayers that are going to give you that light. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, بشر المشاعين بالضرع بالنور التام يوم القيامة. Look, the glory in good tidings be to those who walk in darkness. Those who walk in darkness to go up to perform. It's night outside, you get up to perform Fajr. You get up and turn on the light. You get up and walk to the masjid. And it's dark, Fajr and Isha. You know you walk in the darkness because you walked in the darkness for the sake of Allah. Allah is going to replace that darkness for you as light in heaven so you can cross that bridge on the judgment day. In addition to that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, من حافظ عليها, whoever guards this prayer on time, it will be نورا, it will be brightness, so you can cross the bridge. ونجاتا, proof and a savior. This is the first part of this hadith. The second part of this hadith, I'm going to talk about when we get to التبهير, the warning part. The first part of it is, if you want, if you pray these five prayers, it's going to be brightness, نورا, so you can cross the bridge. It's going to be proof. Allah on the judgment day when you question, you just put your proof. Oh, Allah has my salah. When a jah, an rescuer, at a time when people are going to be thrown in hellfire, your rescuer is your salah. Your salah. It's the first thing you're going to be asked about on the judgment day. When you stand before Allah, the first thing you'll be asked about is salah. If it's good, everything after it should be good. And if it's bad, everything after it is going to be bad. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. This is where I mentioned 10 facts on salah from a perspective of tarheeb, promises, importance, and the reward. Let me briefly talk about the second point, and I'm just briefly going to touch upon it, because this is the entire lecture in itself, and the aim over here is to get people to pray. And prayer on time is a completely different topic with plenty of hadith and significant and rituals to it. But you can't let a topic like this go by without talking about prayer on time. Be realistic. You're going to pray. The prayer takes 5 minutes, 7 minutes or so, average. These 5 minutes that you're going to pray, the 10 minutes, there are the 10 minutes there. You got to do them, you got to do them. Just like your mom or your teacher used to tell you. You're going to do the homework, you're going to do it. Why are you going to delay in it? You have to do it. You got a bill, you're going to pay. You got a pay, you're going to pay. Why are you delaying it? It's the same with Salah. It's the same 5 minutes. If you do it in the beginning of its time, or in the end of its time, or at night, it's the same 5 minutes. Why delay it? If that time is going to come out from your time, why would you delay something you have to do either way when it's best to pray on time? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what is the best of all deeds? A Sahabi tells him that. What's the best of all deeds? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, prayer on its time. He says, O Prophet, what about after that? What's after that? He said, being kind to your friends. He said, O Prophet of Allah, what about after that? He said, jihad for the sake of Allah. The best of all deeds is prayer on your time. It's the best of all deeds, and you have to do it, you have to do it. Why do they? Let me give it to you from another realistic point of view. You tell your boss every day, you know what? I'm late 5 minutes every day in the morning. Every day in the morning, I want to be late. Is any boss going to accept that? In your school, if you decide 5 minutes every day, most of the schools that I know, 9 or 10 absences, and you're on audit, and you're kicked out, and you're going to be fired. If you're working for a job, they're going to audit, they're going to write you up and a few times, 2-3 times and fire you. Every day you're late, or you don't pray. And Allah tolerates that. Isn't that merciful of Allah? In the Quran, Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Salah is written upon people at special times. So you have to pay attention that you have to pray your prayers at special times. You got the internet, you got a little convention, you go get your part-time table, and then every time it's time for prayer, you get up and pray. That's the second point. Our third point for the start is the opposite of the first. In the first, it was the promises, the reward of prayer. This is the opposite. This is the tahir. If you don't pray, what's going to happen to you? Number one, under this, do you want to be called a Catholic? Do you want to be considered a Catholic? This is a matter that's disputed. Some scholars consider one who doesn't pray a Catholic, just like a Christian and a Jew, the same way that they're not Muslim, you're not Muslim. And this is the opinion I adopt, and I spoke in detail about it in some of our classes. I went through the hadith of both sides, and I showed how the selected opinion would be that he's not part of Islam, and Ibn Taymiyyah gathers the things of the four imams and discusses this issue in detail in Al-Fatawa. This is not what I'm talking about. You say, if he's a Kafir or not, this is not an issue at hand. Even if you claim he's not a Kafir, you're severely doomed to a severe punishment. Whether you disagree with a Kafir or not, that's not the issue at hand. However, you're severely doomed, and it's a severe punishment and arrest by Allah if you don't pray. Look at what the Prophet ﷺ said. Between a man and kufr and disbelief is disregarding faith. It's related by Ahmad in Muslim, in Abu Dawud, in Ibn Majah, and in Tirmidhi. بين الرجل وبين الكفر ترك الصلاة. In another narration, بين الرجل وبين الكفر والشرك ترك الصلاة. Between a man and between disbelief and polytheism is even faith. Another hadith on this topic is that the Prophet said, the covenant between us and them is leaving prayer. Whomever leaves prayer and abandons it is a disbeliever. This is by Ibn Majah, in Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, in Ahmad, and Abu Dawud. العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر. Ibn Taymiyyah, when he talks about بين الرجل وبين الكفر, this is probably the most decisive proof that he leads to that one who doesn't pray is not even a Muslim. He shouldn't be buried with the Muslim. He shouldn't be prayed upon. Why? Because the Prophet said, between a man and kufr, بين الرجل وبين أهل الكفر, the kufr, أهل over here in Arabic is called أهل العهد, meaning the kufr, you know, the main kufr. And he said, بين الرجل وبين الكفر, without أهل, then it's subject in dispute, meaning it's an aspect of kufr. However, when he says أهل الكفر, the only kufr that this could mean is the major kufr, the one that leads you out of Islam. You want to be a non-Muslim after Allah granted you the privilege and honor of growing in the household of parents who are Muslim, or that you embrace Islam and then you leave it behind your back, all that Allah granted you and you want to leave it away? Abdullah ibn Shaqiq is a tabi'i. He said, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ did not consider abandoning anything in Islam except Salah. And it's narrated by Abu Hurairah as well. كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يرون من الأعمال شيئا تركه كفر ترك شيئا من الأعمال كفر إلا الصلاة. أبو هريرة عبد الله بن شقيق said, بين الصحابة never considered anything. For example, if you need help, even if you're willing, you have the money, you're not a kafir. You're not a kafir by all means, unless you say Hajj is not ordained. That's a different story. If you believe Hajj is ordained and you don't do Hajj, you're not a kafir. So, if you don't fast, no scholar ever said one who doesn't fast is a kafir. Absolutely not. As long as you admit that it's due, if you say something ordained, if you say, well, fasting is not ordained, that's a different story. You're denying something essential in Islam. However, you believe it's essential in Islam, and you don't do it, nothing like that will take you out of Islam except Salah. Our second point in Tahir is I want you to imagine you come to your house after a long day's worth of work, and you find your house burnt to the ground, and your family, your children, or your parents, or your siblings are all dead in the house. And then you get a call from the stockbroker and says, all your money is gone. You, within a matter of moments, have no family, no shelter, and no money. Imagine that feeling. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whomever misses Salat al-Asr alone, it's just as though that happened to you. This is the timing of it. I don't mean missing the leaving it, not praying it. But he waits until Maghrib comes and he didn't pray the Asr. It's as though he walks to his house and burns charcoal to the ground and all his family is dead. The Prophet said, من فاتته صلاة العصر فكأنما وتر أهله ومن. Your family and your wealth are all gone. Now imagine, this is what the message is trying. Imagine if it's someone who didn't pray. Now imagine if it's not Salat al-Asr, but it's rather five times a day. How should he feel like? How should it be to him? Imagine if it's not five times a day, but rather for months and years he hasn't been praying. Feeling the filth and guilt inside his heart, that's how we should feel if he's a true Muslim. Our third point under Tahib, do you want to fall under the wrath of Allah? How can you withstand falling under the wrath of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever abandons prayer, Allah will be angry with him. When he meets him, this hadith is in Al-Bazar. The wrath of Allah is not easy. The curse of Allah and the punishment of Allah is not easy. Allah in the Quran says in Surah Taha, وَمَنْ يَحْلِمْ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبِي فَقَدْ هَوَى. Whoever might curse the wrath of punishment before the upon is cursed. He's done with. This is the punishment of Allah. Could you withstand that punishment in curse and wrath of Allah? If not, you better get up and start praying. The fourth point. Do you want to be under the protection of Allah? We mentioned that in the tarheer. Now take it from the tarheer. We said if you want the protection of Allah, you pray. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this falls under tarheer, do not ever abandon the prayer deliberately. Whoever does so is no longer under the protection of Allah. This is in Sahih al-Tabarani. The Prophet said, من ترك صلاة عامدا متعمدا فقد برئت من ذمته الله. You want Allah to disown you? You want to be free on your own? No protection of Allah? No, you don't. Do you want your deen to go in vain? Any rate? Remember, we said in the early on, in the tarheer, that Allah will give you not only reward for your salah, but also will erase your sins. If you don't pray, then it's going to erase all your deeds. You did deeds, well, Allah is going to erase them. He's going to write them down and He's going to erase them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من فاتته صلاة العصر فقد حبط عمله. Whomever صلاة العصر he misses, then his deeds are erased. And the reason the hadith, Abu stressed in this hadith, because it was one of the most missed prayers back in the Prophet's time. Doesn't mean only Salat al-Asr. But imagine if he misses all five a day. All his deeds are erased. Do you want to have an aspect of the hypocrites? Our next point is that, do you want to have an aspect of the hypocrites? Allah in the Quran says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. In Surah An-Nisa, when Allah talks about the hypocrites, He said, and when they get up to pray, they get up lazy.
وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى.
At least the hypocrites get up and pray. What are you when you don't even get up and pray? At least they get up to show.
يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا.
This is to show people that they get up. They don't do it for Allah. But at least they did it. And they're hypocrites. What are you who doesn't even do that? Who's worse? The next point is how can you not pray when prayer in Islam is an ordained on everyone who's breathing. Everyone is breathing. As long as you can breathe, you have to pray. Tell me, you're in a battlefield, and the swords are swinging at each other, and the arrows, and the gunfire, and the cannons are at each other, you gotta get up and pray. Because we have a special prayer in the Quran, especially for times at war. Allah said in the Quran, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى. Guard your prayer, especially the middle prayer. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ فَرِجَالًا أَوْ رُكْبَانًا. If you hear, then reform your prayer on foot and on riding. This is when the battlefield, people are running from one area to another, swords are swinging. Perform your prayer on foot and on riding. And when you're in safety, فَإِذَا أَمِنْتُمْ فَانْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَمَا عَلَّمَكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُنُوا. If you're in safety, pray to Allah the way He has taught. In war, you gotta abandon your prayer. Yet you're in the peace and in the heat, in the central air condition, in the comfort of your palace and your house. And you don't pray? If you say, I fear Allah told us in the Quran that there's a prayer in the Quran for times when you're fearful. If you're in an area where you're fearful, you're extreme fear, there's a prayer for you. There's no time, there's no period of time where you're exempted from prayer. Absolutely not. Next point. How dare you not pray when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused to allow a blind man exemption from prayer? Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum, the one who Allah revealed Abasa wa Tawalla in the Quran. Allah reprimanded the Prophet in the Quran for this man. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum goes to the Prophet and says, O Prophet of Allah, my bones are weak. I have trouble walking. I'm ill. I'm old. He's blind. Ill, old, blind. Everything you can imagine. Can I pray at home? You notice. He didn't say, can I be exempted from? He said, I just want to pray at home. The Prophet says, can you hear that, Adan? He said, yes. He said, I find no excuse for you not to pray in the masjid. In the masjid. Blind, his bones are fragile and weak, he's ill, old man, and he does not get exempted from salah in the masjid. What about those who don't even pray in their houses? What are we going to say about those? Our next point, what happens in hell to those who don't pray? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, he talks about someone who he seen in his dream, a dream he seen. And you gotta keep in mind, any dream the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sees is revelation. Not like ours. Ours, some might become true, some not. But any dream the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says is a revelation from Allah. In Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, أَتَانِ اللَّيْلَةَ إِثْنَانِ وَإِنَّهُمَا ابْتَعَثَانِ وَإِنَّهُمَا قَالَا لِي انْطَلِقَ. Two people came to me in my dream. They said, come on, let's go somewhere. وَإِنْ انْطَلَقْتُ مَعَهُمْ. I went with them. وَإِنَّا أَتَيْنَا عَلَى رَجُلٍ مُطَجَّعٍ. We came to a man who's laying down. This is the dream of the Prophet ﷺ. A man laying down. And me and two other people who took me there are standing watching. The man laying down, and there's another man standing over his head. وَإِذَا آخَى قَائِمٌ عَلَيْهِ بِصَخْرٍ. The other man standing on top of that man who's laying down has a big rock in his hand. وَإِذَا هُوَ يَهْوِي بِالصَّخْرَةِ لِرَأْسِهِ فَيَسْلَهُ رَأْسَهُ فَيَتَدَهْدَرُ الْحَجَرُ. He takes the stone, the rock. He crushes his skull. He throws it on top of that guy's head. He crushes his skull and the rock rolls. فَيَأْخُذَهُ فَلَا يَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهِ حَتَّى يُصْبِحَ رَأْسُهُ كَمَا كَانَ. He goes, and that rock that rolls away, he goes and gets it. And by the time he comes back to that person, he crushed his skull, then that skull is just like he left it. It goes back normal. Allah brings his head back normal, the way it was before he crushed it, and he comes back. So one guy goes, the guy, over his head, goes to get the rock, and the other person's skull returns back to its normal shape. And he does the same procedure over again. حَتَّى يُصْبِحَ رَأْسُهُ كَمَا كَانَ ثُمَّ يَعُودُ فَيَفْعَلُ بِهِ مِثْلَ مَا فَعَلَ الْمَرَّةَ الْأُولَى. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قلت سبحان الله ما هذا. So the Prophet said, why is he doing this to this man? Why is that man standing over his head crushing his skull, and every time he takes the stone after a roll, and by the time he gets back his head turns normal, then he crushes the skull again, and the same procedure over again. Why? What's going on here? They answered the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِنَّهُ كَانَ يَنَامُ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ أَوْ يَتَكَاسَلُ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. يَنَامُ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. He sleeps at times of prayer without praying, or is lazy to go to the prayer and do this for prayer. This is someone who sleeps till the time is gone. It's not someone who misses the prayer totally. Let's say he's not a Kafir. Can you withstand this punishment on the judgment day? This is exactly what's going to happen to one who misses the timing consistently without a valid reason, misses the timing of the prayer. Imagine, let your imagination run your imagination on wild as to what will happen to someone who doesn't pray on time at all. Allah said in the Quran,
فَخَلَفًا بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ.
There has been from their successors people who've given up prayers. They either lost it, they're not doing it on time, They're not perfect in it. Their destiny is hell. From their descendants, the descendants of the Sahaba, the descendants of the good people, are people who began to miss their prayers. Miss, not on time, not perfect them. This is not for someone who doesn't pray. I'm telling you, this is for someone who doesn't even pray on time and doesn't perfect his prayer. What's the punishment going to be for one who doesn't even pray? Ghayya is their resort. You know what a resort that is in hell? Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Ghayya is a valley in hell, very, very deep, and the most distasteful valley. Why is it distasteful? A person in hell is going to be the size of, when he sits, the size from Detroit to Chicago. He's going to be the size from Detroit to Chicago. His flesh is going to be very thick. He's going to have a lot of flesh. And that flesh is going to be a lot because he needs to taste the torment of hellfire. When that flesh burns to the bone, then Allah is going to replace him with more flesh. Where do you think that flesh and flesh goes? You know, if you've ever seen flesh that burns, it turns into a fleshy-like fluid. Where is that going to go? That's going to go to Ghayya, the valley of hell, Ghayya. Who's in Ghayya? The one who doesn't pray correctly, doesn't pray on time, doesn't protect his prayer. Could you withstand that if you don't even pray? Allah, the Quran says, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ Why are you in Saqar? قَالُوا لَمْ تَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ The people in heaven ask each other, why are they in Saqar?
كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَةً
Everyone is a prisoner of their sin, except the people of the right side.
إِلَّا أَصْحَابَ الْيَمِينَ
They're enjoying themselves in heaven.
فِي جَنَّاتٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ
And one of the discussions they have in Surah Mark is the people in hell, and at that time it's okay to mark. Now it's not okay to mark. We don't make fun of people now, because Allah knows best what happens at the end. But as a hellfire in the life after, yes, they say,
مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ
Why are you guys in Saqar?
مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ
Another resort for those people who don't pray.
قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ
We weren't among those who pray. What's Saqar? Before you know exactly what Saqar is, look at another verse in the Quran where Allah says,
that Saqar
is going to go into Saqar.
وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سَقَرْ
What do you think Saqar is?
لَا تُبْقِي وَلَا تَذَرْ لَوَّاحَةٌ لِلْبَشَرِ عَلَيْهَا 19
It leaves no remains. It's a valley in hellfire where one who goes into it is no remaining. In this world, if you put a fire as high as the temperature it goes and as long as the fire goes, that person burning always has to have remaining soul. This fire in the life after leaves no remaining soul. It goes through the flesh and to the bone and leaves absolutely no remains to that person. The next valley in hell, وَيْمَنْ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون ويل للمصلين The next one is a valley called ويل We took غيا We took سقر and now say ويل Allah said in the Quran and woe unto those who perform their prayers woe to those who perform their prayers those who delay their prayer from their stated and fixed time سورة النعم ويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, woe here to those who pray is delaying a prayer until the next prayer time comes. So if you don't pray the morning prayer until it's time misses, or it's not Zuhr until Asr comes, then wail is the reverse of that person. What is wail? According to the Sahaba, wail is a valley in hellfire where animals and snakes take him and eat him and he comes back to life in that life over there and then snakes and animals eat him again, and who is this? One who prays but delays his prayer. So what kind of valley, what kind of punishment is one who doesn't pray in? Look at these valleys, these resorts. Ghayya Ghaya, the putty, the smelly, the scummy valley of hellfire. The one where all the disgusting fumes and flesh go over there. Saqa, the valley where no remains of that person become. And Way is the valley where the animals live in and they eat that person. In another verse in the Quran, Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. We tell them bow and they don't bow. Way is for them. Way is for those disbelievers.
And the first reason, please insert like a CD.